Okay. Interview with world traveling couchsurfer Aidan, 16th February 2017. Hello, Aidan.
Hello, Horst. How are you today?
Thanks. I'm interviewing you. Please, can you state your full name?
Yes, my name is Aidan Ellis Patterson.
Okay, is this your first interview for a podcast?
Yes, it is, I think. I can't remember doing one before, so I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to be asked today.
Okay. Aidan, please, can you tell me, you're actually in Vienna here working with me. Can you tell me where you come from and how you come here?
Yes, well, I'm actually from Tasmania, which is an island in the southern part of Australia. So it's very far away, obviously. And I just came from Vienna from Slovenia yesterday.
Okay, but before that, I mean, how long?
Oh, well, I haven't been to Australia for over 3 years. Yeah. I've been making a big trip around the world, so I've visited every continent and many countries and continue to have many great experiences, and already it's been a fantastic and really life-changing journey.
But you're now 30.
Yes, I'm 30, so, yeah.
And you told me you are an elementary school teacher in Australia.
Yes.
So in what age you decided to quit teaching and become traveling?
Well, I finished my university when I was 21 years old. And then, I think I just always had a desire to go and see what's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I did some teaching a little bit in Australia, but then I actually moved to England and did 2 years teaching there. And then since then, basically, it's been a little bit of teaching, but most of the time just traveling around the world and volunteering at different schools and helping out where I can and seeing what all the different schools are like and helping students and seeing what resources they have and how the teachers teach and how the students learn. And it's been a really enriching and learning experience.
So you're a traveling teacher?
Yeah, you could call that, yep, the old Australian traveling teacher, yeah, with a lot of...
It sounds to me as you teach so long that your travel money is reached enough to move on.
Something like that, Horst, but actually, to be honest, I actually saved most of my money when I was working in Australia.
Okay.
And then obviously when I've been traveling, I try to keep my budget quite low. Obviously, most people would say the same thing. I use a lot of couch surfing, which is obviously helps with the money side of things, but I also love hitchhiking too, which saves on transport. And then
so you really try to live low cost.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to travel. Most people with my budget probably couldn't travel for 3 years. But I'm a very simple person, especially when you go to parts of Africa, Middle East, and these other places. You don't need so much money anyway, you know.
But you still pay for travel insurance or your heat care or something?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I got some travel insurance. I mean, it's probably not the most expensive and equipped one. I'm just praying that I'm not going to get injured. But at the end of the day, like the travel insurance is only really good if you die or something serious happens. Because at the end of the day, if you get sick or something like that, you just go to a local hospital and they usually help you for a few dollars anyway.
Okay,
so yeah. Yes, I know it sounded a bit bad saying die, but I mean, or death, but I mean, these minor incidents of something like your camera getting stolen or you're having an upset stomach, end of the day, the insurance doesn't really cover those things anyway. What I mean? And there's always
more headaches with the bill.
Absolutely.
And so you're now on the road since 9 years with Breaks for Teaching, or is it correct?
Something like that. Yeah, like maybe like 8 years, you know. I think in the last 7 years I've been in Australia for 1 year. That was to get some money up again. Since then it's been all around the world.
Also in this year in Australia you don't lose the mindset that you're a traveller. You're just a stuck traveller, but not a retired traveller.
You're definitely not a retired traveller, but actually, to be honest, in June this year, I mean, I still would have a little bit of money to do some more travel if I wanted to. But to be honest, I mean, there's not many countries that I haven't really visited. Most of them are all little islands, and they're not so interesting for me. So I'm ready to start the new chapter, which might be finding a job somewhere overseas, somewhere, or getting back to reality, as they say. But we'll see how things go, you know.
Coming to adulthood, you're reaching adulthood.
Yes. Well, I mean,
why not?
Well, it's interesting you say adulthood because again, society makes us believe that we need go to university and then graduate from university and find an apartment and
job, house, garden,
yes.
Children.
So I mean, for me, I mean. In life, you need to be happy, and whatever that means to you is the most important thing. So at the moment, I'm enjoying my life, and of course, if you ask someone about what job I have or what where's my fancy car or my apartment, I don't have any of them. But actually, I have a lot more.
How many countries visited?
Now I've visited 157 countries. But the thing is about that, it's not really about the number of countries. It's the is the amount of experiences that I've got through those countries.
So you must have a mountain of good memories. The
Pacific stories from Pacific countries would make be very interesting to hear, you know. But of course, a lot of stories and, you know, just an amazing people that have really made this trip really lovely indeed. And I will always cherish these memories, and I can't wait to help people wherever I am in the future.
One very important question now, that you visited so many countries and traveled for so many years. Do you feel traveling become boring? Like, do you have this "I've seen it all, I want to settle down now" feeling, or you're still open for traveling?
I mean, it's a yes or no answer. I mean, this is why couchsurfing and being with local people, it never makes it boring, because at the end of the day, each person has something different to share with me. I mean, look, if I was going to a hostel and meeting the same people in the hostels, being the classic backpacker tourist, I would have finished traveling 2 years ago. I'm sick of that. It's the hitchhiking, getting in a car and seeing who's going to pick me up. It's the, you know, going to the next country, meeting my new host.
Like people and like meeting new people and get
people. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, of course, Vienna is a nice city. I mean, look, I haven't seen anything yet. I'm still walking there now. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be so amazing that I need to come all the way from Australia to see this city.
Yeah.
But again, at the end of the...
You could have seen that on Wikipedia.
You could have seen it on Wikipedia, but it's the other things that you get to meet these different people from different walks of life. And, you know, you get to see... Yes, and you get to see where they live, how they live, what they're doing, what their goals are, what their football team is. And, you know, like, I've been invited to many weddings, birthday parties, of Christmases, and all these different things from around the world. So couchsurfing is the only way to really, you know, enjoy the experiences of the country, because, to be honest...
You get connected to the locals.
Yep, absolutely. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, you can come to any city with your guidebook and see the city.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, you've seen nothing, you know. And then you go to Prague and it's the same same city with some different buildings and with different money, but different type of beer. But then you don't know anything about Prague, you know, or the people there. So, yeah, it's a really fantastic website and fantastic motto.
And how about the inconvenience of couchsurfing versus being a backpacker in a hostel or being a guest in a cheap hotel? That you can come and go as you want. You don't have to you don't have to play by the rules of the host. But instead, can say, "Well, I want to have a beer at 2 o'clock in the night and then go home." Don't you bother you? Don't you think, "Oh, I really want once not." Having to follow
the
rule of
somewhere. To be honest, I mean, you know, the majority of my hosts are very easygoing and relaxed people, and whatever I want to do, they're happy with that, because, you know, I'm respectful for them. Yeah, of course. I mean, if I told them I want to go and have a beer, I'd be home at 2 o'clock. It really depends on the country and the culture. I mean, of course, people in Europe might be like, "Well, I need to go to work tomorrow," because people in the Western world are a little bit more anxious. But I mean, in Africa or other parts of South America, then that's just normal, okay? You know, just come home. And so there's no real inconvenience. It really depends on the host.
So you're not restricted by couchsurfing versus going in a hotel?
No, I mean, of course, look, if I was in a hotel, of course, I could, you know, there would be more freedom, like, but that's like anywhere. But again, at the end of the day, I've never had someone say to me, "Aiden, you need to wake up at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Sometimes it happens, very few.
Yesterday.
No, but you didn't really say that. I'm sure if I said I want to sleep all day, you know, I'm tired. At the end of the day, you can sort of do what you like to do. But again, I'm very respectful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, I can't really think of an example where it's been like that for a long time, you know? Everyone's just really helpful and, you know, and really friendly, and you can come as go as you please and things like that, yeah.
And do you can imagine that couchsurfing will become boring to you? Like that you will say, "Okay, I have met so many new people, I'm now in another phase of my life where I don't need another new people."
Well, you can look at it two ways, and of course it could be very easy to me say, "Yeah, you know, like, I've met so many people and I've said the same story 300 times, 300 people." But in saying that, each person I meet is unique in their own way, you know. So I mean, I never get bored of it, because if I was getting bored of it, I mean, I still would be able to go to a hostel or do something like that. But
you don't feel the need anymore.
I don't need to feel the need, because everyone has something unique to offer, and it's always a different experience. Someone's home and where you're sleeping, and they're different. Food that they're going to eat, or their different job that they have, and things like that. So It's never boring, but again, you can look at it in a negative way, which I never do, but it's always positive, always positive.
I had an interesting interview with a girl, I will link to that in this,
okay.
About the couchsurfer, and she said to me, yeah, some people don't get couchsurfing, they think it's all about the money, so of not paying money, of
yes.
getting service for free.
Uh-huh.
What's your feeling about that?
Oh, well.
Some people suspect you, he just talk about connecting to people, but in there really it's just cheap.
Yeah, well, look. When I signed up in 2010, yeah. I mean, 7 years ago, yeah. This is exactly what I was thinking.
Some cheap thing
so yeah. I can stay for free, you know? And then when I started using it, mm-hmm. I mean, then my whole philosophy changed. Because at the end of the day, of course, if you're in the middle of Zurich in Switzerland Tokyo, yeah, and it's 50 euro a night for a hostel, yeah, obviously you need somewhere, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, when you've traveled all the countries like I've had, you can go to a hostel or a hotel for less than 5 euro a night in most countries, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not going to be very good, but it's somewhere to sleep.
It's possible, yes.
But now it's like I'm always hunting for couch surfing. Like even if I have a tent, you know, so you could sleep for free too. But it's like, no, I want to get somewhere. I want to be able to meet that person and see what their life is like. And I really want to stress to everyone who's listening, you know, you will get experiences that you will never be able to get through staying in a hostel or things like that, you know. So many things. Like, okay, Aiden, tonight we're going to meet my friends at my favorite local bar, or you know, now it's Christmas time, you can have Christmas with my family, or there's a wedding going on, or there's a birthday party. I mean, these things, and it's always with locals. I mean, at the end of the day, why would you want to come all the way to Austria and meet someone from Brazil in a hostel? Of course, they're both traveling. You can meet that back home. You want to be able to get to the country and actually witness some different things. And especially if we're traveling for 6 months, you know, same buildings all the time or same conversations in the hostel. It's like, hello, where are you from? Where are you doing? And then at the end of the day, it's almost like you're having a competing race with someone.
So, I visited more countries than you.
Have you been to this part of Austria? And you might say no, and they make you feel like you've missed out on seeing the Queen. Come on.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's almost like it's a competition. Yeah.
You are now on the road for several years and met tons of people, I guess. Yes. How can you say? What is your opinion for how you keep in contact with all these people you had a good emotional connection to? Is this easy come, easy go? So or do you really try to maintain on Facebook or somewhere really contact? And
yes, I mean, of course,
what
like.
Is your experience with that?
I would probably be meeting up to 10, 15 people a week on average, you know. So if you put that into some quick mass, you know, it's about 50 people a month, you know. That's thousands of people more, you know.
Yeah.
But one thing I'm really happy with is that I do keep in contact with the majority of people that I meet. Well, usually it's on Facebook, you know.
Facebook,
the problem, obviously, in Africa, I don't keep in contact with a lot of people. I mean, obviously, due to the fact that they don't have internet access very much. But I mean, obviously, the people in the Western world, they have internet a lot, and you know, every now and then I might send them a message or something pops up on Facebook.
So you really take the time and maintain your contact.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's some people I haven't kept in contact, but they don't keep in contact with me either. So people are busy. It depends on the person, but at the end of the day, it's like I say to everyone: even though I'm here in someone's house for 2 days or 3 days. When I leave, it's not like, please don't think I'm actually leaving.
Yeah.
Please, if you want to write to me, if you need my help. Or you want to, you know, keep in touch, because who knows, you know, we could cross paths again. So it's really, really important to keep in touch with people as much as possible, you know, regardless if you met 100 people during the week or something like that.
Something else, I don't want to say wasted, but did it ever occur to you or someone say, man, you're wasting your best years here with traveling, you could build up a career or make a second degree in economics or whatever, study, and then that would be so more helpful, or you would now have 6 years paid in your pension fund,
mm-hmm.
that you obviously did not, I think. So do you have an answer to such questions or such accusations, like that you get something out that maybe help you later with all this traveling?
Yeah, I mean, people haven't probably said it to me, but
does it make economic sense to be a bum?
you can say economic sense to be a bum, but at the end of the day, it's not really being a bum, you know. Like, of course, life is. Bumming around. Well, life is unfortunately in society, people are always focusing on having, I mean, on materialistic things, you know, what we have, you know, this is my car and this is what I have. And for me, sort of growing up, I mean, I had a couple of issues. I mean, I lost my mum when I was very young, and my brother also. So when I had these issues happen to me, it was almost like, well, life is too short, you know, and I want to be able to enjoy what I want to do. Now, I'm not telling people to go and travel, but I mean, at the end of the day, we only have one life. We're like, and I say to people, we're like almost like visitors on this planet for a short period of time.
Well, and
yes. And we just need to enjoy it. And I mean, that doesn't mean traveling the world like me or whatever, but just try to be happy. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not happy, that's your fault. There's no one else that can make you happy. Even getting married or blah, all these other things that people think, buying a new car or going out, it's not going to make you happy. So for me, it's like I don't really focus on those things. Yes. Because we also, you know, at the end of the day, like, I mean, I'm very lucky to be from the Western world. So regardless of what happens in my life, I always know that I'll have a roof over my head with something to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to be struggling like the rest of the people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, of course, when I tell people I quit my job and I'm traveling around the world, for most of these people, they can't believe it, because for them, they don't even have a job to quit to start with.
Yeah.
And if they have some money, it's enough just to buy a loaf of bread for the morning. So for me, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't really care about my career or about my future plans like that, because I'm sort of living in the present moment. And at the moment, I'm really enjoying myself. And when the time comes to stop, I know that I'll make the right decision and life will look after itself.
But did you have something like, did you meet some interesting people who offered you a career opportunity in another country that you was not thinking about beforehand? That you just, through your traveling, some career options opened for you?
Yeah, well, actually, Horst, to be honest, in the last couple of months, probably my head's starting to think about what am I going to be doing in June.
Yeah.
Obviously, for the last 3 years, it's all been like a bit something like from Disneyland. Just going around the world and, okay, where am I flying to next? Who's the next couch surfer to meet? Where am I going? And it's been really lovely and dovely. But again, there's some options. I mean, well, the thing about the world is there's actually too many options. If there was only one or two options, it would be very easy to choose, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, there's 200 options, and that's the hardest thing, because it's like, which country do I go to work in?
Okay.
You know, do I go back to Jamaica and help this lady when I met
run
a hotel? Or do I go to China and teach English? Or do I go back to South America and learn Spanish? So
you have plenty of options.
Too many options, unfortunately, you know, and that's the hardest thing, because as I said, if you only have two options, China or Argentina, then you could, after 1 or 2 hours of thinking about it, you can answer. But when you've got 500 options, it's difficult. But again, at the moment, I'm not thinking about that, because it's still far away, you know, not so far, but I'm always just focusing on the short-term things, because who knows, in a few months, things could change. I could get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, the contract that the girl offered me is not going to be working anymore. And I've sort of come to terms with not trying to think too far ahead. So,
Some for closing, have you some practical advice for inexperienced travelers? Like, you know, these Douglas Adams books where they say, as a hitchhiker, always have your towel and you can soak it in nutrients and things like that. Is there some very practical wisdom you can share? Something that you was not obvious that you learned through experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a very different, of course I'm a tourist, but I'm seeing myself more as a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, obviously when you start backpacking, including myself 10 years ago, I was the same person I see, you know, taking pictures of buildings and going to hostels and meeting tourists. And so at the end of the day, there's no right or wrong way to do this trip. I mean, at the end of the day, that you're happy, if you're happy taking pictures or you're happy meeting tourists, that's the most important thing, and you're enjoying that. All I would say to people is that the world is a really safe and amazing place full of great people. And, you know, don't listen to what you hear in the media and all these things.
Your advice is don't be scared.
Yeah, don't be scared, you know. I mean, you know, don't be, and it depends on the country. But actually, the countries which you think are, you know, at least dangerous, they're actually probably more safe than the ones that you think are, you know. So just be adventurous and enjoy your travels and take risks, you know, and... you know, go and meet local people. Go and enjoy the city which you're in. And, you know, because at the end of the day, in 5 years' time, you're not going to remember the building that had a little clock tower at the top, you know.
But you
will. But you remember that person in Vienna who made a nice breakfast and who made a nice podcast with me. So thanks, Horst. I enjoyed that. I hope it sounded good, yes?
Thanks, Aidan, and congratulations to your first podcast.
Thank you very much.